Welcome to Antonio Bravada's Business Coaching and Optimization Podcast, where we dive deep into mastering the art of business and growing it to its full potential. If you're an entrepreneur or a business owner looking to take your business to the next level, this is the podcast for you. In each episode, just like this one, we're going to share practical tips on how to ultimately position your business for a successful sale. But that's not all. We're going to invite other business owners on the show to share their experiences, the good and the bad of running a business, get real and raw about the challenges and the obstacles that they've faced. And to top it off, we're going to sprinkle in some live business coaching on the spot. That's right. We're going to take real life scenarios so that you can listen to it. We're ready. If you're ready, let's go. Hey guys, how's it going? So today I wanted to kind of talk to you guys and do a little recap of season two so far. We have a new episode next week with a business owner who has had his business for 20 years and a very interesting business to kind of show that you can create a business out of anything and kind of being mindful of what people need. And that's where he has his company today. But I wanted to recap the season so far and kind of talk with you guys a little bit on a couple principles from each episode and kind of the takeaways from some of those. And then next week, we will end the podcast with this last guest, and we'll probably take a month off and come back to it. So obviously, we can't keep this going every week for the entire year, so we're going to take little breaks here and there. But I do hope that you've appreciated season two. I think that the format of being able to interview different people and have a conversation with them is very exciting, and it has a lot of different takeaways from it. So we're going to continue that. We'll probably just take a month off and relax a little bit and allow me to focus on my businesses and do a couple things that I need to get done, and then we'll come back at it. So we started the season off here with Ace Haggerty. If you remember Ace, he's a structural engineer. He's got multiple businesses, real estate, and everything else. Ace is very much more focused on his mindset, and he had the long program, the daily thing to become your own superhero and bring that out with you, his 100-day program, of course. And he's got the other mindset escape that he does with Josh Gillo. And, you know, that was a very good conversation. So, you know, we started off talking about a little bit more of his personal life and some things that he's working on. And then, you know, started talking with his business. And he has multiple different businesses, but he's a solo business owner and has an assistant and utilizes her as needed. But we had a conversation about how to build a business that operates without him, and maybe using his assistant who he's had for a very long time, and giving her more creative control and maybe giving her the title of CEO so that she mentally feels that she has some control so she can help contribute to his growth. In that particular case, she knew a lot about Ace and how he would make decisions so that she can make decisions kind of as he would, but in place of him to help him grow. But that was a good conversation. And, you know, we went on to the CEO of Rivix, Antonio Rivoto, who started a unique opportunity to build passive income for investors utilizing the trucking space. Not for truckers, but for people with money. Like if you would invest into a rental property for real estate or something along those lines, he's kind of doing the same thing, but it's kind of a done for you model and using the investment and running a trucking company. And, you know, it's a unique take on what he's doing. And he's kind of starting off, he's kind of proving his concept a little bit. And, you know, I had asked him some questions because I'm familiar with the space, and things to make him think a little bit about what to do. And again, we kind of also talked about letting somebody else run the business. He's kind of what I think I equated to in that episode of him being like Papa John, where he is the face of it. He's very good at communicating the vision and the idea, But letting somebody come in else and running the business, you know, more of a sales oriented mindset type individual, which I thought would be good for him. But a very unique take on his business, and he's been doing good. And I think there were some things that he needed to think about, but at the same time, he's done a phenomenal job with what he's done so far. Episode 3, we brought on the founder and owner of a company called Germs RX. That was Scott Lamphere. And, you know, he built his company because later stage in life, you know, he was in accounting and insurance and things along those lines, CFO type work for many, many years. And then during COVID, he had a good friend of his that got sick and his immune system was just weak. And so he set out to help his friend find a cure, which, you know, I've seen a lot with very successful businesses of being able to start your business, not because you want to own a business and then you try to force it down people's throats or convince them to do business with you, but starting a business out of a need. And he found a product that he liked so much that his perseverance and his persistence of bugging the heck out of the manufacturers allowed him distribution rights to the product. And that's what he's doing now. And, you know, but a good example of why you build systems and why you don't build a business that revolves around you was in his case. So he had lost his father and he had to take some time off to, you know, handle the things that he needed to handle in that situation, which we can all sympathize with. And we understand that that happens, right? And it happens to all of us at some point in time. But the problem of not building systems is that while he's taking care of things at home that need to be taken care of, nothing's happening with his business. So when we did our interview, he was back at it and things were going and he's getting things back up and going. But at the time, like we said, you know, he loved the product so much and he was kind of in the people's face every single day for a week until they finally said yes and they gave him the rights to build his company and grow his business by utilizing that product, but also understanding the importance of building the systems so that the business always runs. And I think then we also talked about a different type of customer, being mindful, right? The end user may be the same, but who you sell to can be different. And the example I used was Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Coca-Cola has market share and their products are in every store, gas station. Everybody likes Coca-Cola. And we go to a restaurant and we say, can I get a Coke? And the response from the majority of waiters and waitresses is Pepsi okay? And everybody's like, yeah, sure. But we always ask for a Coke first. And so I took that and said, how does Pepsi then compete with Coca-Cola if that is the market share that Coke has? So Pepsi understood that all the end users are going to be the same person drinking it, but how do I get it in their hands? And they went the route of creating restaurants or partnering with restaurants and fast food chains to put their products into. So when you go to a restaurant, that's why they say, is Pepsi okay? So Pepsi doesn't sell their drink direct to consumer. They sell their drink to businesses that end up selling it to the consumer. So sometimes understanding, yes, our end user is this type of person or this type of business or whatever it may be, but how do I compete with my competitors? And so what Scott was doing, we said, well, maybe take a look at not selling it direct to consumer, but selling it to businesses, restaurants, other places that would buy it because of X, Y, and Z benefit. And in turn, then, you know, you have your sales, but you're just not competing with the same consumer market. They're using the product, but because it's through a different place. Episode 4, we brought in the founder and owner of CRMG, David Morgan, who is completely revitalizing and changing an entire industry and then in the credit and collections world. And he built something many years ago, by the way, and saw the need for AI and how it could be implemented into his business. And he wasn't getting that out of the employers that he was with. So he started his own company and he built it that way. And remember, there's three kind of periods or three pillars to his business. One is collections. Two is his AI platform that is able to be white labeled and used by collection agencies or even first party users like banks and credit unions and law firms and people who are owed money that they don't even really have to sell the debt to a third party agency. They can utilize the platform to allow it to do it for them directly. And then they had the third pillar, which is the New Beginnings credit card. So on one end, they have a business that's targeted towards the creditors that are lending out credit and are owed money, and ability for them to collect as quick as possible, as much as possible, as efficient as possible. But on the other hand, he also created value for the debtor who owes the debt, and saying, listen, settle with the amount, whatever that happens to be. We're going to put you over on a credit card that shows that amount, and you'll just make your minimum monthly payments. We're not asking you to pay it all up front. We're asking you to make the minimum monthly payments. Now, on this card, it's 0% interest, so there's no interest. But the purpose of the card is because it is a new trade line that reports to the credit bureaus showing that dollar amount. So if you owe $30,000 in debt and you settle for $20,000, you're getting a $20,000 credit card limit right now, which is actually pretty cool for you to do. At the same time, every time you make a payment, they also report to the bureaus that you're paying it on time. So not only are you settling a lesser debt amount, but you're also rebuilding your credit while you're paying it back with new trade lines, which helps you grow. So they kind of created value for both ends of the spectrum there, which I think was huge. And having the mindset to kind of create that, right, is the lesson there for everybody is the constant and strategic innovation, always finding new ways of engaging your customers, looking forward, what isn't available today that will be needed in the future, and crafting a business around it. That's a very smart thing to do. Then we went on to episode 5, which was Janisha Richardson, and she owns multiple companies, right? She's part of the JT Fox Net Worth family and kind of how we were introduced. And but she started off out in California working for Enterprise Rental Cars, not being happy. She went to accounting school and didn't really like accounting. So she ends up moving to Washington, D.C., getting a job at an accounting firm within the first week of moving there, and having a house party and accidentally meeting somebody that becomes her business partner. And they start Richardson & Moore, which is their accounting firm. And then they also understood that, okay, a lot of our clients are small business owners, and they're having a problem with X, Y, and Z, which happened to have been getting business loans and things along those lines. So they created Right Commercial Lending, which is a platform that allows small business owners to be able to access loans in the early stages with not so great credit and not so great revenue history and things along those lines. And so she kind of built two companies that target multiple different aspects of it as well, which, you know, is one of those things is you just don't give up, right? What do you want? And putting yourself in a network of people that are going to motivate you and propel you forward, so you're thinking differently and you're acting differently. And that's very important to do. Following that episode was Kadira Muhammad, who has Omnipotent Consulting, which, you know, when we got on the call, I mean, if you listen to the episode, she didn't really know what she was. You could ask her what she did and she'd give you an answer, but it wasn't really what she was. And she didn't know that. And of course, she's out there, you know, building a business, trying to help business owners take back their time. But that was kind of, I think, what I brought out from her was, you know, how are you taking back their time? What are you doing? You know, and the answer kind of changed. And so I don't know that that was really a genuine response. And so my goal in that episode was to, I think I talked a lot in that episode versus other episodes, but my goal was to help her define who her actual client is and things that she can do to benefit them even more. I think that was a very good episode for somebody like that and from people that like you that are similar to her, is really defining what, you know. And, you know, if my slogan is going to be helping business owners take back their time, well, how exactly do I do that? Because they're going to ask that question just like I would. How are you going to help me take back my time? And by you teaching me how to better do my marketing, I still have to put time into it. So because I know it better, sure, I guess I'm getting a little bit of my time back, but I'm going to fill it having to do this stuff. And that's why I said to her, well, maybe you should be doing it for them. So we kind of went through that. And by the end of the episode, it was really, she's kind of is able to take over the front office for solo business owners who don't have staff. Let her do it. Let her create the systems. Let her handle the tasks so that you can actually have your time back. And then we helped her define who her actual customer is, that it wasn't the business, that her customer is the business owner. And being able to think about it that way is going to allow her to adapt to her messaging and her own model internally. And so that was a good episode. And from there, we went to another similar case where I kind of talked my ears off, or talked my lungs out, I guess, was Jamie Hallman, the owner of a window washing company, and came from nothing, literally, and, you know, built a business without any models, without any motivational push from a father figure or anybody else, you know. And that was pretty incredible, his story, getting engaged and married to his high school sweetheart at a young age and having to build that and having multiple kids. And, you know, he built a business out of straight customer service. And he had his own job while he was building his business, so they didn't suck any money out of the business to continue to grow the business until the point that it allowed him to come in and work in it, which I thought was pretty remarkable, to be honest. So the purpose of that one, though, was to kind of talk to business owners like him, and like, if you're out there listening, that were similar to him, as far as get out of the tunnel vision. When you identify yourself as something, you stop thinking about outside of the box issues. And when he is identifying as a window washing company, and his mindset went to, you know, how can you grow? You can't be getting new sales when you're out there performing the work. So you got to do one or the other, right? And so as you do that, then you're only paying people one time. You have to get them to come back. And why not put them on a subscription? And then his response, well, I don't think people will pay to be on a subscription because we're viewed as a luxury item, luxury business. And then my response, if you remember, was, I don't think it's a very good idea to start a business if you're knowing that you're a luxury item and you're not needed. You're only needed sometimes. And it's like having dessert at dinner. It's just, you know, it's the luxury when I can do it. Otherwise, if I can't do it, I just got to eat to survive and I don't get to go out to dinner. I have to cook at home or something along those lines. But the point of that one was, is to stop identifying as a window washer and identify as a business owner. What other businesses and services can you offer your clients that they're already paying for today? They're just somebody else who's coming to do it. So window washing, why not install windows? Why not have a landscaping company? Why not, you know, wash gutters and siding and roofing and do other things that are related to the same thing that you can do something with? And not even having to do it yourself, but he was referring business to people that he knows, and they're kind of referring business back to each other because they don't want to drive to a certain radius. It didn't financially make sense for them. So I said, well, instead of throwing the money out, you know, you're giving them work and they're giving you work, which is fine, but why not combine forces? Why not make one large company so that all the value can go to one place and identify as a business owner and
bring a bunch of individual companies together that can form one large company to create value and work towards getting bought out by a strategic partner at some point, you know, and kind of shifting that mindset. And I thought that was a very good one. And then, of course, episode 8 was a phenomenal one. I had been looking forward to that conversation for a very long time. That was the CEO and founder of Dusenberry Entertainment, Tom Dusenberry, an absolute legend in the business of gaming, you know, former CEO of Hasbro Interactive and Atari and NASCAR Heat Games, and has worked on Xbox and Sony and Mattel and Lucas and Warner Brothers and all these different things. I mean, he's huge, but he owns licensing and distribution rights to games and his platform, and he helps produce them. And that was very interesting because, you know, my age, I grew up on video games. I remember Atari. I remember Nintendo. I remember Sega. I remember PlayStation coming out. Then I remember Xbox. I remember this failed game called Dreamcast. You know, that was what I grew up on, like a lot of listeners. I mean, it's an amazing feature, especially talking to somebody that was in at the very beginning of it. And that was an amazing conversation. Somebody who is been in the business side of gaming that not a lot of people know, and all the money that goes into the production of it and being able to sell businesses and buy businesses. And that was a very good conversation. That was probably my favorite one of the year. It was phenomenal. So, but the purpose of that one was to, you know, there is a business out there that maybe he didn't want to sell that one because he's got licensing rights and those kind of create and go on forever. But the point of that episode was the gaming world was board games, card games. And he saw a need for interactive technology, interactive games, graphics. And he took Hasbro and created Hasbro Interactive, which was the video game console for it. And then he's created lots of different video games and be able to find the science of fun and a double wow experience. Wow, I want to buy the game, and wow, I want to keep playing the game, and how difficult that is, and the eye for being able to do so, right? So that was just a phenomenal conversation. I thought it was great. Of course, he has his own company now, and he's doing great stuff with it. And then next week, we will be bringing on the owner, president, and chief scientist of a company that I'm not going to give too much away right now, but he, as an engineer with older brothers, didn't really know what he wanted to do. And engineers, you have to understand, they have a very analytical mindset. So being conceptual and creating certain things in businesses is, you know, to his credit, he did, but he also understood that he needed somebody to do the business side, you know, and so he's built something that's been around for 20 years, and it kind of came out of a niche within a niche. He saw a need and created a business for it, and it's an amazing story, but as you listen to it, you're also going to understand an artist being a business owner, and how they love their art so much that they don't really ever want to sell it. And so he's kind of one of those who has a business, and it's not, even though the financial offers might be there, he doesn't want to sell it. You know, it's hard to get an artist to sell their artwork because it's not ready, or they think that it's worth too much, or they're worried about, I don't want to sell this piece of this painting to this home because I don't think they're going to take care of it as well as I would. Well, when you're an artist, nobody's going to take care of anything as well as you would. But once you sell it, it's also not yours anymore, right? So he's in one of those positions, and eventually he will, and he knows that. But what he's built so far has been amazing. That was a great conversation, and I can't wait for all of you to hear that. So anyways, I wanted to do a quick recap. We're going to keep this video short. Taking a little break next Wednesday will be the last one for the season. We'll take a little, like I said, about a month off, and we'll come back. I want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in this season and listening. I think it's been very fun, and the format has been great. We've had a lot of phenomenal feedback from it, and we hope to keep providing value. If you are a business owner and you would like to be featured on the podcast in the third season, go ahead and email into info@ambco.co. It will also be in the show notes as well. Visit antoniobravada.com or tonybravada.com. They both go to the same place. Check out the website. Get a hold of me. If you are a podcast listener, all you got to do is mention that on our first call. You get an hour strategy session for free, one-on-one with me. As always, I'll provide as much direct value to you as I can. If you want to work with me going forward, I would love it, but you don't have to. You can take the meeting and go execute that yourself. So, but I'm here to help, and hopefully that's come across this year. And I hope to talk to all of you soon. Have a phenomenal day. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I hope that you learned a lot and that you feel motivated to start implementing everything that you've learned here. You know I love results, and I know that you're going to have amazing ones. If you like what you're hearing and you want to leave a review, that would be awesome. Please make sure that you subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the new episodes, and shoot me a DM on Instagram at Antonio M. Bravada. I would love to hear your biggest takeaways. And remember, if you change your thinking, you'll change your actions. If you change your actions, you'll change your reality.